Morning, this is the reading. Our reading today comes from the Gospel of John, chapter 1, verses 1 to 14. Though this is familiar, let us read it with hearts of reflection. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him, all things were made. Without him, nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of all mankind. The light shined in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to testify concerning that light, so that through him all might believe. He himself was not the light. He came only as a witness to the light. The true light that gives light to everyone was coming into the world. He was in the world, and though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. Yet to all who did receive him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Let me read verse 11 again. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. This is the word of the Lord. Well, thank you, God. Thanks be to God. This is the word of the Lord.
Amen.
Thank you, Shawa, for praying. Thank you, Justin, for reading. Yeah. If you could have your Bibles out to that passage. But would you just pray with me before I preach God's word? Lord, I thank you for this day. I thank you that you are a God that cares for us, that you are a God that we can adore and worship because you are our King. Lord, I pray that you open our hearts, that you open our minds to hear what you have to say. I pray that you would use me as your vessel, Lord, to that these would be your words, not my words, Lord. I pray all of this in Jesus' name. Amen. So, if I were to ask you this question, what would you do if suddenly you were in the presence of someone or something that you adore? It can be anything, it can be anyone. I have a friend who adores the UN, and so when someone from the UN came to our university, she was elated. She was going crazy. How would you react? What is this thing that you adore? For me, I tend to freeze. I have actually met several celebrities in my life, but the first time I remember ever seeing a celebrity was when I was 14. I was in New York. I was visiting my aunts in New York, and there's a huge NBA store in New York City. Around that time, there was this movie called The Kid. And I saw one of the actors in this movie. No, I'm sorry, I did not meet Bruce Willis, but I did see Spencer Breslin. He's the guy who plays the little kid in this movie. And when I saw him, I remember so clearly, he was maybe a yard away. He was 3 feet away from me. And I remember just freezing and just staring there for probably about 2 minutes before I composed myself and finally went to my parents and was like, there's this actor in here. He plays the kid. And my parents like, what are you talking about? And my mom reminds me that apparently after this, I took my brother and then we proceeded to follow this actor all over this NBA store. We went to the second floor. So how is it that I react in the sight of someone I adore? Apparently I stalk them. So today we're going through the carol, O Come, All Ye Faithful. And in this, the writer tells us how we are to react to the revelation that Jesus is God. We are told to worship and adore him as God. And we do this in three ways. First, we adore Jesus as King. The second, we adore Jesus as God. And third, we adore Jesus who came down. We adore Jesus as King. Let me just tell you a little bit about this hymn first. O Come, All Ye Faithful was written somewhere between 1740 and 1743. It was originally written in Latin and originally had four verses. At the moment, there are some that have eight verses, but the original had four. John Francis Wade is coined as the one who has written this carol. His name is on the bottom of most of the earliest music sheets that we have, which does track. He was an English musician who made his living selling playing charts and other music, and he did these choir things. It was later translated into English, probably about 50 to 100 years later, by Frederick Oakley. And again, it was the original four verses that we have and that we sing today. In this song, O Come All Ye Faithful, it calls for all of us who believe in God to come and worship him. O come, all ye faithful. Come, all ye faithful. Those who are faithful to the Lord, come and let us adore Christ. In the first verse here, we are brought to Bethlehem. What is it that we are, who is it that we are worshiping? Why are we adoring Christ? Well, O come, all ye faithful, joyful and triumphant. O come ye to Bethlehem. Come and behold him, born the King of angels. We worship Jesus because he is the King. He is the King of angels. We are brought to worship this baby in a manger because he is the King who is born. He's not just the King over the earth, he's the King of heaven. That's why it says King of angels. He has come to rule over heaven and earth, to rule over us all. In N.T. Wright's book, How God Became King, he writes, he says that this is not a new concept. This idea that Jesus is king is not a new concept to the Jews, to those in the New Testament, to those who wrote the gospel. In fact, this idea that Jesus is king is something that everyone knew. In fact, in Matthew, this is one of his common themes. And he's writing to the Jews. To the Israelites, they knew of this king that was going to come and bring peace and bring joy and bring love, and specifically who was going to judge fairly and destroy everything that was evil. We see these in prophetic passages like Isaiah 9 and Daniel 7. Jesus was this king. Very quickly after the birth of Jesus in Matthew, Matthew goes to this theme of Jesus as king. In Matthew 2, 1 to 6, we are brought to a king being born. There are these magi from the east, right? They're far away. They come from the east, and they come to King Herod, and they ask him, hey, where is the one who is being born king of the Jews? We saw his star when it rose and have to come to worship him. Now, who are these magi? They probably were scholars that studied the stars, most likely astrologers. All that we know is that God reveals to them that through the stars that there is a king of the Jews that is going to be born in Bethlehem. This is mostly due to the constellations. Actually, most rulers in this day had their own constellation. That's how they knew that it was there, right? And what happened probably was there's this new set of constellation that came up in the stars, and it was in between Jupiter and Saturn. The reason why they think that it was a king, well, Jupiter is the royal planet, hence it must be a king. And Saturn is known as the star of Saturday, where the Jews are known to worship on Saturday. So they knew that there must be a king of the Jews that are going to be born. And in faith, they go. This star was God's revelation to them to go to Bethlehem and worship this king. They come from the east. This is amazing, because Herod then goes, who is this? Who is this Jewish king that supposedly is supposed to come? And he calls the chief priests and the teachers of the law. These are the people in the temple who would teach about Jesus, who would about the Messiah, who would teach about Jewish customs, who would know everything about this. And he says to them, where is this Messiah supposed to be born? In fact, they don't need to go and configure as much. They immediately say, oh, it's in Bethlehem in Judah. They quote Micah 5:1-4, and also 2 Samuel 5:2, right? 2 Samuel is the shepherd bit, talking actually about David, when David was king. This is why they think it's king. And they quote it, but you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least of the rulers of Judah. For out of you will come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel. They knew. The people who are God's people, the people who had been studying God's, the Torah, the God's word, they knew where the Messiah was going to be born. And yet, it is these foreigners from the east, who have faith and go and respond to go find this king. The song brings us to Bethlehem, brings us to this king, the king of angels. I ask you this question: how do you respond to this king of angels? If I were to ask you the question, is Jesus your king? Is he the king of your life? How would you answer that? Have you allowed this king to bring joy, peace, love into your life? Have you allowed this king to destroy the evil in your life? These are the things that the gospel writers knew the Messiah was going to do. Maybe this adoring Jesus as your king looks like this in your home. It looks like gathering your family at the start of the week for a family devotional, studying God's word together and praying, inviting Jesus into your family decisions and dynamics, asking for his guidance every day. Maybe it looks like this in your workplace, where we encounter everyday situations where our integrity is tested. When we live in this world that is countercultural, that is against what God says, it leads to unethical behaviors. Maybe it is to adore Jesus as King at your work may look like making a commitment to upholding biblical principles in all your dealings. Maybe this week, I challenge you to choose to stand and do what is right, do what God wants. to do what God wants instead of what is easy or what is expected of by others. Make it a practice to pray. Pray before work, asking God to guide your actions, that your actions in your workplace would reflect his kingship in your life. George Washington Carver, he's known actually in the agricultural world. He is the one who actually built a lot of, he found all these ways to actually cultivate cotton and peanuts to grow them. He actually was a devoted Christian. In fact, everything that he did, he glorified God. He gave it back to God. In fact, he prayed diligently before any scientific endeavor that he had. And when he got a discovery, when he made a discovery, he said, "Wow, I have uncovered the wonders of God, the wonders God has made in nature." Every single day, he put Jesus as his king, and his co-workers saw this, and he yielded fruit. This, we adore Jesus as king, and we adore Jesus as God. The second verse of "O Come, Ye Faithful" seems to be missing. With many hymnals, it was cut out, taken out. Especially in contemporary music now, the second verse is not there. They seem to skip this verse. The thing is that this is the main idea of the whole song. The entire song is surrounded of the second verse, that Jesus is God. Why do we worship him? We worship Jesus as God. Even in verse 1, Jesus is king of the angels. He is ahead of the angels. He is God. Look at the second verse with me. God of God, light of light, lo, he abhors not the virgin's womb, very God, begotten, not created. If it sounds familiar, we did say it, a part of it earlier when we said the Nicene Creed. The author of the song here is quoting the Nicene Creed, something that all believers say together. We all say this together. And what is he highlighting? He is highlighting Jesus as God. Our reading this morning was from John 1. In the first 4 verses, John claims that Jesus is God. Look at what it says. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Do you remember in the beginning is another, there's another place it's said, and that's really at the creation, in Genesis at the creation, right? This word we know is Jesus, as John will reveal later, and it's Jesus, and he's saying Jesus was there in the beginning when creation happened. Actually, the word logos, the word for word, is probably influenced by 2 things. In Greek, the Greek philosophy, it has this idea of where everything comes from, i.e. God. Another way that they have it is, well, is this outward expression or this speech or this message of God in this Greek philosophy. In Hebrew, the word dabar, which is the word for word, is used to show God's power. It is a power. It's used, right? In the beginning was in the beginning God spoke and things were created. When things are revealed, it is revealed when God speaks. When people call for deliverance, God delivers them when he speaks. And the words of the Lord came and they were delivered. The word represents God, and the word was God. Everything came out of the word. Jesus is God.
We adore Jesus because he is God. And then in verse 3 of the song, we are brought to the angels glorifying Jesus as God. Sing, choirs of angels, sing in exultation, sing all ye citizens of heaven above, glory to God, glory in the highest. Luke 2:13-14 brings us to the angels singing. This brings us to this picture of the angels singing. The angels has just told the shepherds about Jesus in the manger, and suddenly there is this huge host of angels that come and sing and glorify God. The word here, glory, means to praise God. This is the most amazing thing about this, right? Actually, their message is to tell us that Jesus is God. The only other time when you see this huge host of angels singing is in a vision of heaven, because that's where God is, and that is where the angels praise him. But notice here, the angels are here on earth praising God. Why? Because Jesus was in the manger. Jesus, who is God, was in the manger. And they tell the shepherds that their Jesus, your Messiah, is here. This God is here. And the moment that the moment they leave, the shepherds immediately go and find Jesus. They go and they find Jesus. And the moment they leave the presence of this baby, they cannot help but glorify and worship him. Luke 2:20, the shepherds went back glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen, just as it had been told to them. What does it mean to adore Jesus as God? Well, it means that we approach Jesus in reverence. We approach him as in reverence. If we truly believe that Jesus is God, do we approach him in this way? When I was growing up, there was this huge idea, this movement, that Jesus is our friend. And yes, Jesus is like our friend in that he cares for us, that he comes down to us, that he knows what we're going through. However, I think what is lost in saying that Jesus is just our friend is the idea that actually he is God, right? There's a danger of thinking that he's just another human, that he's not God. We tend to forget that Jesus is God and is to be revered, is to be glorified. Notice that the angels glorified Jesus as God, and that when the shepherds saw Jesus, they couldn't help but worship him as God. In this busy and often aggressive atmosphere of life, we struggle to actually see, and take a moment and actually see this truth that Jesus is God amongst the chaos, mostly right in this atmosphere of life. Things come up in the busyness, in the midst of our busy days. Why don't we make an effort to carve out some time, dedicating a few moments by stepping away to a quiet place and just adoring Jesus as God? Take a moment in your busy life. Take a moment and close your eyes, recall his attributes, and let the Holy Spirit guide your thoughts. This simple act replenishes our spirit and reignites our focus on him. See, when we sit here and we realize, Lord, you are God, that is when we can then say, oh, you are God. You now can be the king of my life. Lord, how do you want to rule in my life? Martin Luther is known as one of the pioneers of the Reformation. And in his most challenging days, which I'm sure is really challenging to go against the church, to go against the corruption in the church. And in his challenging days, facing opposition and fatigue, actually, you know what he would do? He actually would retreat. He took a break from his responsibilities. He found a solace and quiet room, and he prayed, and he whispered praises to God. He refueled his spirit so that he could lead the Reformation. He found refreshment in that time. These little acts allow us to have Jesus in our life, to refresh us, and to have him be the king of our lives. We adore Jesus as king, we adore Jesus as God, and we adore Jesus who came down. In the last verse of O Come, All Ye Faithful, we are called to adore Jesus who came down to save us. Yea, Lord, we greet thee. Born this happy morning, Jesus, to thee be glory given. Word of the Father, now in flesh appearing. Some versions say born for our salvation instead of born this happy morning, which they reserve for Christmas Day. It is amazing, right, that this is what we adore. We adore this God who comes and saves us. In fact, it is amazing that this God comes to dwell among us. Word of the Father now in flesh appearing. This comes straight out of John 1:14. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and the only Son who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. The Word, who is God, we just learned is God, became flesh. He came to us. That word, the word dwelling, is actually the same word that describes tabernacle. In the Old Testament, if you guys remember, the tabernacle was created to symbolize that God wanted to be among his people, that he wanted to dwell among his people, that he wanted to have an intimate relationship with his people. That same word is described for Jesus. Jesus comes and dwells with us. He comes so that we can have a relationship with him. However, there are some, right? John 1:10-11. There are some that don't recognize him as God. In fact, they push him away. They don't see him as a savior. In fact, they reject him. But for those of us who do believe, 12-13, yet for us who believe, we become his children. We become children of God. We learn through the book of John that this is possible because of what Jesus does on the cross. We are able to become his children because Jesus dies for our sins, takes our punishment, and raises to life so that we can raise to life again. And we become his children, sharing that same love to everyone in the world. This is what the carol reminds us. We come and adore him because of his great love for us. And we adore his great love for us by accepting this love. Maybe you're sitting here and you don't feel worthy. Maybe you wonder, how could anyone see me? I'm just a person in a sea of the world. How can anyone love me? I've done terrible things. Social media, sometimes family, friends, sometimes they've given us this distorted view of self-worth. But Jesus doesn't see you as worthless. No, he does not see you as someone not worth saving. In fact, he comes down and dies for you. Maybe he's revealing himself to you today. I call you to take a step of faith and believe. If this is what you want to do, I would love, or any of the staff would love to talk to you about what it means to follow Jesus, what it means to accept his love for you. Maybe you are a believer. I ask you this question: are you letting Jesus in every aspect of your life? Do you go to him with your troubles and problems? He knows what you're feeling. He became flesh, human. He has been tempted, hurt, angry. He's been beaten. He's been scared. He can surely relate to you and help you in whatever you're going through. Go to him in your time of need. The song, "O Come, All You Faithful," reminds us why we gather and celebrate Christmas. Through this song, we are brought to the manger where the King of the angels lay. It is revealed to us that this baby is Jesus. This baby is Jesus and is God. And that this God loves us so much and comes down to save us. Like the angels, the magi, the shepherds, when Jesus is in our life, we can't help but worship and adore him. Let us adore Jesus today by making him the king of our lives, by revering him as God, and by accepting his love for us and sharing this love with others. Let us pray. Dear Lord, I thank you that you are a God that cares for us, that you are a God that comes down to save us. Lord, I pray that as we go out, that people would see that we are your people, that we worship and adore you, for you are God in our lives, that you are God that we go to because we know that you care. Lord, I pray that as we go out, Lord, that we would ever be worshiping and adoring you. I pray all of this in Jesus' name. Amen.